All right.
Hey, welcome back from the desk low. Man, if you've been watching the show, man, you know Detroit and Grand Rapids. Man, the whole state of Michigan got a whole near and dear place in my heart. Right now, man, I'm joined by a prolific producer who hails from Grand Rapids. We all know Grand Rapids produces nothing but fire. You got a steep cut in the Detroit hip hop scene that's gone off to do amazing collaboration projects with some of your favorite rappers. But the man that you see right in front of me, man, I have Apollo Brown.
What up? What up? Glad to be here, bro.
Man, you're so humble, Apollo, man. And then, hey, and also with the newcomer, man, I love when I discover a new artist, man, because, I used to be iffy about clicking on somebody new because I was like, oh, man, what if I don't like him? But since I got into media, man, if I find a new artist who I just gravitate to, man, I can't help but, like, how come more people ain't talking about this? But then I gotta remember, the album's only like 5 days old. But hailing from Chicago right here, man, when I first heard this man's pen, it reminded me that Chicago still produces lyricists as opposed from the drill sound we all hear today, man. And I knew with Apollo backing behind the boards, this man was gonna reach a whole new audience. I have the one and only Fillmore Green.
Thank y'all for having me, man. Salute.
Salute.
Fillmore, West Side Shy.
Yes, sir.
Garfield,
Now,
Garfield
thank y'all for
Park,
having me.
baby. Garfield Park.
Oh
Garfield Park, you already know.
yeah. I got a question about that. Yeah. So, a problem. Threw that out there. Are you guys really from the Garfield Parks, like from Chicago and Grand Rapids?
First of all, how did you know that?
I do my homework, sir.
He's been doing his research.
Because I don't think we said have we said that on an interview?
I don't think so, bro. I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm from Garfield Park, man. Grand Rapids, I'm from that area, from Garfield Park and Grand Rapids originally. So, and he's, I mean, Phil will tell you where he's from.
I'm from West Garfield Park, West Garfield Park, west side of Chicago. See, I'm from the Chicago Garfield Park. I'm sure there's some similarities too, though, when you really break
Oh,
it down.
I'm sure, absolutely.
Now, I understand
Yeah, but we both.
when Apollo makes an album, like he has to like really vibe with the person and in person. So when you guys were chilling together, like did that like cross together? Like, I'm from Garfield Park. I'm from Garfield Park too.
Yeah, no, it was funny, man, because we were I think we were going to eat, man. We were in Chicago and we were getting ready to go have dinner, and he said something about Garfield Park, man. I'm like, man, I'm from Garfield Park, man. That's crazy. And it was just kind of like it just kind of popped up, obviously from different cities, different states, man. But
Right.
the fact that we're both from Garfield Park, man, is dope.
Well, what I like about
Yeah.
your guys' careers now too, there's a lot of similarities behind it too. From when I did my research now too, obviously with Apollo Brown, we all know Skilltrade. I know you hate that album, Apollo, but I mean, it's got to bring it up. Sorry, but we're
Yeah,
Skilltrade.
yeah, no, you, it's funny, man. It's like a Nardwuar interview, man. You're doing your research. Yeah.
Hey man, I'm just a fan of the culture, man. So like I was saying
So
before, there's a
dope.
lot of similarities between you two, man. Because like with Apollo with the Skilltrade album, it was composed of old beats from the early 2000s, when he was like a bedroom producer, he wasn't really telling anyone and he had to throw something out there to let people know he makes beats. And as with Fillmore, when creating Third World City, I believe that you had to on a recording bench for about 5 years with Off the Block, the recording label. We'll get more into that after. But
Oh wow.
I understand, like
Yeah, you did your research, man.
yeah, sir, obviously.
Yeah.
But like what I said now too, like you had a stockpile of music while creating Third World Order, and then you threw that out. Now, if I got my facts straight, it was 2018.
We put that out in 2018, and 2013 to 2018 we were just stockpiling records, and it was like 2016, 17, we really figured out what we really wanted to do with it. You
Okay.
know, I was we Off the Block wasn't formed then. Everybody kind of went their separate ways. But you do, you are on your shit. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
you know what you're talking about.
Oh yes, sir. We'll get more into that after. But like I was saying for the audience now too, like the similarities behind your guys' stories now too. Like Did you guys ever like talk about that? Like, you know, about your beginner stages when connecting, like in person?
I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, bits and pieces of our early careers and stuff like that have come up. You know what I'm saying? We talk about a lot, man. We talk about, you know, everything from our personal lives to the music that we made together. So, I'm sure certain things have come up. I don't think either one of us has gotten in detail about earlier in our careers, and you know, but you know, it's nothing that neither one of us are hiding or nothing. You know,
Oh, yeah.
right.
my whole life is pretty much open, man. So, you know, especially my career, everybody, you know, that's on the table. So,
That's what I was about to say.
you know, that's, you know, it's just nothing that we ever really talked about. I think certain things might have come up, but you know, we can't really.
It's really, my bad, my bad. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was saying a lot of the stuff that we talk about, we keep it here and now.
Yeah, I really didn't have to, it's really not much to ask Apollo about the beginning of his career, because, you know, like he just said, it's already out there. You know, you can Google and go back and Google his involvement and check, you know, his discography and really dig into the beginning of his career. So now we really never spoke about that. It's just like out there, you know?
Yeah, because for from like the outsider, from a fan like us, not like we're like if you're really in tune with this industry, like we want to know about them. So when I researched that, I'm like, that's maybe why that album came out so good, because like there's a lot more similarities now too. But I also noticed now too, in you guys' interviews now too, like they don't really start off by asking you guys by a bunch of aliases now, because as a fan like me, I want to know why you could have used your government name, but like, why the name? I'm sorry, the alias is Apollo Brown and Fillmore Green.
Go ahead, Phil, man. You got a
Yeah,
more extravagant story
I'll
behind
check you
yours than
out.
I do.
Nah, well, you know me, man. I it means several things. You know, my uncle, who's Phil, he's no longer with us, and you know, I hold him dear to my heart, as well as my grandfather, Green. Green, Greene. He's also a junior, so that's my grandfather's government name as well. So I kind of wanted to, you know, represent both sides of my family and with me, you know, and that's when I came up with Fillmore Green. And then as I got older, I wanted more meaning to it, because it sort of sound like I'm on some pimp shit, or it sort of sound like, you know, it's like, okay, is this your real name? So I wanted to live by my shit. So, you know, the Phillmore. Place hatred and instigate us last, make obstacles real effortless. That means, you know, if you look at your goals and you have tunnel vision for that shit, you go for it. There's no way you can stumble, no way you can trip, because you can't run the race and look backwards. You're going to run into someone, you're going to fall. You know, you look at your goals and you go for them, and you're going to get them if you have that tunnel vision. Then, you know, Green, Greene, grow righteously every day, expect nothing equal. That means you can teach yourself something new every day. And if you teach yourself something new, you can't stay, and you expect nothing equal. You can't stay stagnated. You can't decrease. You can't go below, but you can only move up. You know what I mean? So you're only going to grow. So it shows growth and advancement. You know, that's what I live by. That's what I aim to do every day I'm on this planet. And that's where my name comes from. So, it rolls off the tongue easy. Pause, and, you know, feel more green. You
I
know,
never knew you were
that's
Fillmore
what it is.
Green like that. Because sorry, Paulo. Because when I first heard the name Fillmore Green, you were I thought it was like on some pinch stuff. So that's why I wanted to
Know,
let you know, like why the name Fillmore Green.
I mean, you know,
Yeah.
Fillmore Green from Chicago, man.
I'm
Yes,
from the
sir.
west side of Chicago, baby. Nice to
You know
meet
what
you. Cost of living out now.
I'm saying? I think.
Everywhere.
Second track, if you want to have
Yeah,
reference out there. As for you, Apollo, by the name of Apollo Brown, but you
mine's
kind of went
not
by
as
your
elaborate,
government.
man. You know, Apollo, I came up with Apollo Brown back in late 2006, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
Apollo is the Greek god of music. You know what I'm saying? And one of my favorite artists of all time, James Brown, as a nod to James Brown. And I wanted
Nice.
my name to be like, you know, I wanted it to be a moniker, man, that sounded like an actual name, you know, first and last name. I didn't want it to be like, you know, the electrician, you know, or something like that, man. I didn't want that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want that, man. I wanted, you know, an actual name, you know what I'm saying? And Apollo Brown just kind of, it just kind of rolled off the tongue good. And, yeah. And no, but it was, you know, I came in and it was solidified by my man Finale. Finale out of Detroit, man. You know, he kind of gave me the nod with that name, man. Because I was literally, it was funny, man. I was on my way to a producer showcase, and this was my first producer showcase ever. This first time I ever showcased my beats, and I think this was 2007. And I was on my way, and I didn't have a name. I just come off of like a 2-year hiatus where I wasn't making music. I was done with music. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this no more. And then I got back into it, you know, so people got me back into it, and I wanted to reinvent myself, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, part of reinventing yourself is cutting your hair off and coming up with a new name. So I was like, yo, I need to come up with a new name. I didn't have a name yet, but I had a showcase that night. But I didn't have a name. I'm like, yo, what's my name? They got to call somebody up on stage.
Right. And,
so that whole day, man, I'm just like racking my brain trying to come up with a name. I didn't want to use any of my old names. I'm like, yo, what am I going to call myself? And I'm literally in the car on the way, just going through names. Like, all right, this and that. And I hit my man Finale, man. And I was like, what you think about Apollo Brown? And he was like, yeah, that's it right there. That's dope. I like that a lot, man. That's dope. And I'm like, all right, cool. I still wasn't sold on it yet. But I got to the showcase and I wrote that name down just as a kind of a filler, just to put it down, because that was in my head. And apparently about 3 different times that night, they called Apollo Brown to the stage. Huh. I didn't answer the call because I didn't know who Apollo Brown was. I wasn't used to being called Apollo. I literally just came up with that name that day. So they was like, Apollo Brown, you know, it's your turn. Never, I was like, it never dawned on me that they were calling me to the stage. Until Finale, it was like the 4th time they called me. And it was probably going to be the last time that they called me to the stage. And Finale was like, yo, ain't that the name that you went with? And I was like, oh shit, that is me. That's crazy. And I finally went to the stage, and I got on stage, and I did my showcase, and I played my beats, and it was crazy the response that I got, man, because it was like, you know, this was a showcase with, it was myself, 14KT, Black Milk, Nick Speed, DJ Dez, I want to say Big Tone. I mean, the showcase was crazy. I'm like, yo, what am I even doing here? What am I doing here? Nobody knows who I am. This is all like established, you know, producers in Detroit. And House Shoes put it on. And yeah, man, that was like where I got my start, man, as far as like people knowing who I was, because that I made up my name that day. And they called me to the stage. I played beats. I got off stage. Cats was going crazy. It was trying to get my info. It was like, yo, who are you? Where'd you come from? I came out of nowhere. I wasn't on the scene before that. And ever since then, man, just Apollo Brown stuck. And, you know, I mean, it was just something I came up with that day, man. And I'm like, Apollo Brown. All right, there it is. So
I'm sure that was a classic showcase, too.
Showcase was crazy, bro. It was crazy.
Crazy,
you know what I'm saying? That was a crazy showcase, and for me, that was my first showcase. So I was like, "Oh, they threw me to the wolves, bro."
You stepped in with the lions, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
Hey, that was heavy.
To be the best, you got to, you know, be with the best, man.
Yeah,
they are the best. They are the best.
It's like a hidden gem coming out of it. It's like they're picking away at it. And it's like, yo, you were like here the whole time, but like from Grand Rapids, of course.
Yeah, I mean, before that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I I came to Detroit in 2003 after I graduated college. And so I've been in Detroit longer than I lived in Grand Rapids. But, you know, obviously, like you said, I cut my teeth on Detroit hip hop. You know, I represent Grand Rapids as far as where I came from, where I grew up. But when it comes to hip hop, when it comes to music and my career, I represent Detroit 100%. I mean, that's where that's where I got my legs. You know what I'm saying? Detroit is where I cut my teeth. And, you know, I represent Detroit hip hop to the fullest, man. But yeah, originally, you know, growing up, definitely. I grew up in Grand Rapids on the west side of the state, man. That's why I wear a Sox hat all the time, man. I'm a big White Sox fan. So, you know,
Here we go,
growing up
man.
on the west side of the state, man, you know, we watched WGN every day. The White Sox games was on the TV every day, man. So
Here we go.
that's what it is. White Sox all day, baby. It's Cubs
Gotta
fan
go.
over here.
See, we cubby. It's a cubby nation over here, man.
Nah, man.
Lord, it's a cubby. We cubby nation over here, man. This is what we do.
I'll say we, man. You're
You
the only
know.
one in your whole people. Cubs, dog. Get out of here.
Hey man, I stand for the
Don't say
nation,
we.
man.
Don't say we, bro. You like the Cubs. That's it.
I stand for the nation.
Now, Fillmore, I'm
Yeah.
hailing from a shy city. When I heard your pen, I had to ask though too. Like, you must have been inspired from like local legends, like, you know, like Tom, you know, and like Rhyme Fest or like cats like those days. Am I correct?
Well, Common, yeah. I go by the time I a salute to Rhyme Fest, he supports the music. He's a standout guy in the city, you know. He's a standout guy in the city of Chicago. But I got up on Rhyme Fest a little later in my career when my pen was already working. But coming up, it was, you know, the golden era, and Common was one of those guys that I you know, that I studied simply because he was from Chicago, moving back and forth, and I admired how he was traveling back and forth from New York, and Chicago was a crazy place to break at the time. And you know, some people say it still is, but back then you really had to travel. So he was gone a lot, man. And I would see him holding his own with Mos and, you know, Talib and cats and that nature. And it was, you gotta love that when he coming from the crib. How could you, if you're doing that type of music, how could you not, you know, look up to him? So yeah, I would say Common played a big part of my creative, big part of me honing my skills as an MC. You know, I studied him.
Because when I did my research on you, I understand, like, you know, coming from Chicago, like you used to like travel like to do like Detroit or like New York sometimes and then come back like, but and, like there's like a showcase out there in like Detroit or like New York and then you come back to Chicago. But you know, everybody remembers their humble beginnings. Now, I was curious about your humble beginnings. Like who got you into the booth? Like, was it like with your crew or like off the block? Like, how does this story go?
Well, before Off the Block, you know, my sister Z, she started, well, before that, I fell in love with music. I fell in love with music. You know, my grandmother, she's Jehovah's Witness, and she would leave. She would leave and go to her studies. And my aunts, I lived in a house with a lot of women. So my aunts used to, when she would leave, my aunts used to blast everything from Tupac to Biggie to Raekwon, Snoop, Dre. They used to blast all the golden era music. My aunt Michelle used to do that. She used to blast all the golden era music. And my other aunt Diane, she was more, she had a wider range of music. When Michelle was younger, she was the kid next to the baby, so she was with all the golden era hip hop, the Onyxes, you know, everything. And my aunt Diane, she would go from Meat Loaf, Duran Duran, AC/DC, and she would jump back over to hip hop, you know. And she had like this 3-foot box in the basement. She would just throw her tapes in, and me and my cousin Mimi, which is her daughter, we would sneak in the basement and go listen to those tapes. So we would just go listen to those tapes, and it just, I fell in love with it, you know. I fell in love with it. Then in 8th grade, Moment of Truth came out, and I started, you know, working my pen, started trying it. You know, Moment of Truth came out. I said, man, this is what I want to do. I heard the scratches. I heard the way Guru would place his voice on the beats. And back then, I knew nothing about cadence. So I'm looking at it all hindsight. It's 2020 now. And I started falling in love with that. And then I got older, You know, my cousin Z, she started freestyling with her friends in the basement from school, and I would just jump in and do my thing, little 1-2 bars, and get up out of there. And from there, it led to me, you know, meeting my off the block brothers. And that's when my brother Shay, he really took me in the lab, and he would come get me, this 16-year-old kid, every day, sit me down, you know, have his girl at the time go in a room and sit us down and teach me song structure, teach me bars, and teach me how to do this and that. And we did that every day for like a year straight. And then after that, you know, I started getting into the booth, the recording aspect of it. I started getting into the recording aspect of it. And sorry about that. I started getting into the recording aspect of it all. And after that, Off the Block was set. We would have like rhyme camps, hip hop camp. We would go in the lab, and whoever had the most records, that's, you get the most time in the booth. You know what I'm saying? So everybody wanted the most time in the booth. If you had one record, you only gonna go in there and do one record. If you had seven and everybody else got three, they're gonna knock their three out and you got the bulk of the time. So it was like it was hip hop camp. We would go do that, and then we would travel. We were like one of the first labels or crews on the west side to have merch. We would walk with snapback hats and, you know, with spray paint on them and sell them. It got so heavy they started bootlegging them in the flea market, you know. Then we met Cam came to Chicago. He met my man Duke, and this is Cameron Giles, you know, hip-hop iconic artist. You know, he came through the block. He shot the video on the block. He was ready to sign one of my homies, but he eventually passed away, and that made me go even harder at what I was doing. So, you know, it started there, man, and I just had this thing for traveling. I would love to go to Detroit, you know, and go to the hip-hop scenes. I would love to go to the Sub-T's in New York, Detroit, L.A., and just sit with the people in the hip-hop scene and see how they do things and you know, put myself amongst those people. You could do everything from home, but it don't start until you get up out of the crib. You know what I mean? Everything is accessible to you at home, but you got to go travel in order to see what it's really about. So it started that way, man. A young kid really shooting his shot at it to really keeping the passion and respecting my passion. And I still do it to this day. And that's how we got the record with Apollo, man. And Apollo took notice. I was in Detroit several times, very frequently. And, you know, he tapped my shoulder, gave me the canvas, man. The cost of living is here, bro. Go listen to that, man. We did our thing with that joint, man. People really loving this album. Everything led up to this point.
Man, I'm glad you kept going, because that album is so introspective. Like, I was listening to it again on my walk home, and it just takes you on a journey. Like, you can't skip a record on that. It's like one of those records like you have to listen to front to back. Like, you can't just like, yeah, you can have your favorite records, but if you really want to get the fulfillment of that album, like, just listen to it in full. And but we'll get more into that after. And so when you were with the Off the Block, you said in the interview, that's why I'm so glad to clear that up, because you just said Cam, and I'm over here on the other end watching this film, like, is it Cameron? Or like, is it who is it? Like, so that's why I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah, it's Cameron Giles, man. Cameron Giles, and this is Paid in Full era. This is Paid in Full era. Paid in Full era Cameron Giles. He was just riding one day, and my man Ike, salute to my brother Ike, you know, over there, Got You Faded. My man Ike and my man Duke, they were driving one day, and they bumped into him on Madison, and he was looking for a car wash, just random. And just so happened, he was one of my man Duke. He was Duke's, like, favorite artist. He would always talk about Cameron, and it was just so divine. You would meet this guy in Chicago. So it got to the point, they were going down to his penthouse, just chilling. And he wanted to form like a Dipset Midwest and, you know, everything in that nature. He was interested in my man Frilly. Frilly ended up passing away. And everybody got a little disheartened after that. You know, we kind of like, they stopped doing it. But I always had a passion for it. So I kept my pen going. Kept my pen going, and that eventually led me to tapping my big brother on the shoulder, Chuck. Chuck is a guy, he's been knowing me since I was 16. He used to He used to manage a group called Soul 360. You know, Joe Glass and I Rock. They had BT placements. They were moving, shaking, and popping. And I knew Chuck, well, when he gets started with something, Chuck is going to be 110% in. So I tapped Chuck on the shoulder. And now, you know, it's me and Chuck, Rashid, you know, I end up meeting Rashid. And that's part of the reason Apollo and I connected. You know, so I'm kind of like answering questions before you even ask them, too.
Slow down. That's crazy, man. Because I remember when Cam was gonna be like, "Get it in Ohio" when he was doing the Crime Pays album. So I remember.
He shot that on our block. He shot that on our block.
Okay.
Yeah, he shot that video on our block. He came, pulled up a bunch of New York cats, Harlem. He said Harlem reminded him of him, the West Side. West Side reminded him of Harlem. And he shot that video on our block.
Oh, sorry. Salute to Cam. But, you know, it's not answering. We get a little bit off topic. Salute to Cam if you're watching.
Yeah, so I'm just answering the question.
Apollo, cost of living. I know that, like, you get a question asked a lot about, like, your album. Your classic albums were Guilty Simpson, O.C., Razzcast. But, you know, one thing I was very curious about with you, Apollo, man, like, I've always wanted to ask you this now because you're both from Grand Rapids. You've known him since you were 5 years old, and you guys both got into hip hop together. You guys are like brothers in this hip hop thing. Like, if you guys think about it, you have an album with Joel. He has an album with Kid Crooked, and it's from my favorite group, Slaughterhouse. Or he'll work with an underground artist like Recognize Ali, or if you were Fillmore. So I was curious, Apollo, is there ever a chance that you can do an album with Bronze Nazareth?
Absolutely, man. You know what I'm saying? Me and him have been talking about it for years. You know, it's something that we you know, we both came in this together, you know what I'm saying? And we started together and you know, it's crazy because we grew up in the same neighborhood and now we live in the same neighborhood again, you know, as adults, as you know, with our families and all that stuff. So we kind of came full circle, man. It's weird. But yeah, no, we've definitely talked about it. We've been doing more music together as of late. You know what I'm saying? I just produced three joints on his new album.
Yes, sir.
You know, he's done records for my compilation albums and, like, you know, he was on Sincerely Detroit and you know, we work with a lot of the same people and yeah, I mean that's again, that's something we've talked about, man, and it's something that'll probably more than likely happen, without a doubt.
Because, like, from an outsider, we think about it, and it's like, man, like, there were so many ideas when I think about an Apollo and Bronze Nazareth. Like, you guys can call it Grand Rapids with rap capitalized and Rapids. Like, it's just, like, things like that from a fan's perspective. It's like, when are they going to do this?
It's, well, you know, it's funny. We're going back home in about 2 weeks. Man, we got a show in Grand Rapids in 2 weeks. And it's kind of like a homecoming show because we've never done a show together in Grand Rapids, where we're from, you know what I'm saying? So this is the first time that we've gotten together and actually we're doing a show. So, but yeah, no, we talk about working all the time, man. You know, we're together, you know, we, obviously, like you said, we've known each other since we was 5 years old, man. So we got a lot more to talk about other than hip hop and,
yes,
and music, man, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we grew up together, we came up together. You know, we moved to Detroit together. You know, we went to college together, high school together. You know, we our whole lives, you know what I'm saying? So, and like I said, now we live in the same neighborhood, come full circle, grew up together in the same neighborhood in Grand Rapids. And now we live in the same neighborhood now with our families, you know, as old men. So, but yeah, no, we got plenty of time for it. Again, like I said, it's something that will more than likely happen, man. It's just, it's a long time coming, definitely.
Oh, yes, very long time coming. Shout out to Willie the Kid. Can't forget him from Grand Rapids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Willie the Kid, a lot of Dark Man. You know what I'm saying? Floyd Mayweather. We went to high school with all these cats, man.
Man, yeah.
El DeBarge and the DeBarge family. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man, Switch. Like, we, it's a lot of, A lot of legends where we come from.
So do you, like, look back sometimes and, like, do you, like, just, like, reminisce? Is, like, you look back and see how far everyone came from back then?
Oh, absolutely, man. Especially with, you know, tools like Facebook or, you know, Instagram, man. I don't even think too many graduating classes are even doing reunions anymore, because we all know what each other's doing. You know, the whole point of doing a reunion or class reunion was to get together and, you know, reminisce a little bit and kind of, you know, catch up on what people are doing that you haven't seen in years, 20 years, 15, 25, whatever. Now, man, I mean, my class hasn't even had some class of 98. We've never had a class reunion. And I think it's because, you know, things like Facebook, man, we know what each other's doing. We talk to each other. You know, we catch up with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, I graduated with the, you know, everybody got kids. Some of them got grandkids, man. So, you know, some people are still living in Grand Rapids. Some people moved to Pennsylvania, Florida, Cali, wherever. Everybody, but you know where everybody's at. So, you know, but yeah, no, I definitely I see where everybody has gotten to, you know, since then, man. It's a great thing.
Man, it's great to hear, man. Now, I was just curious about, before we get into the album now, I just got one more question about something that's not related to the album. Now, Fillmore, are you familiar with Maybach Music Group?
Sure. Yeah.
And then, okay,
For sure.
so this is like, I was curious about this, Apollo. Now, you have an album with Stalley now too, who was a former Maybach Music Group member, and you are with Mellow Music Group. You know, you see where I'm going with this, with the MMG thing now too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
With you producing for somebody like that, has that like came up again, like with your conversations? Like, you know, I'm with Mellow Music Group and the whole Maybach Music situation. Like, I just find that crazy how you got this guy to actually do like records we can go back to. Because when we think of like Maybach, we were like, you know, sub records or things like that. But when he left, it's like, what's somebody gonna do? And it's like you breathe a whole new life into an artist. So that's why I was curious if that ever came up.
I mean, you know, Stally's amazing, man. Stally's a great artist, and he also represents the Midwest. You know what I'm saying? He's from Ohio. So, you know, I'm all about, you know, working with you know, fellow Midwest artists. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy that, man. We come from a similar, you know, similar background, man, and you know, Midwest is very blue collar. You know what I'm saying? Very, very, very blue collar. So when I get a chance to work with another artist from the Midwest, man, that's doing their thing, man, I take full advantage, you know. But the whole MMG thing, that never really came up, man. I never really he was away from Maybach for a little while before he
Yeah.
before we got together. You know what I'm saying? So that never really was an issue. Never really came up. You know, fans never really, oh, you're off of one MMG and onto the other. Like, that's not really, no, we never really came up.
All right. Yeah, I was just like curious about that, because it's just like little things like that, like from the outside. It's like, I wonder if they talk about this, like, because like from outside of the music, it's like you guys obviously have regular conversations.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. So, I mean, but yeah, that never came up. You know what I'm saying? I never really delve into, you know, people's personal or career, you know, certain things that may have come up on, you know, in the public as I don't know, problems or anything like that, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he had any issues with MMG, you know, the other MMG
Oh, I
or.
don't think so. I just think like, you know, it
Yeah, I
just
don't.
come, yeah.
But no, it never came up. Never came up. Nope. We were blinders, man. We were, yo, full head of you know, full steam ahead.
Was saying before, man, this album with you gents, like the cost of living, you can see it on the screen now too. Go get it on your all DSPs, vinyl. They say you may do a run of cassettes, CDs. I'll put the link in the description below. Make sure you support that album. So I was curious about Apollo now too. You two met through Rashad ID, but I was curious, like, because I know you're very picky about working with an artist. So what made you actually like want to do this album with Fillmore?
I mean, first and foremost, man, like I said, well, you like you mentioned, man, you know, Rashid Hadi, man, I'm a big fan of Rashid Hadi. I've known Hadi for about 15 years. It's been a while.
Wow.
Amazing producer, amazing artist, one of the best producers to come out of Chicago to me ever. But you know what I'm saying, if he co-signs somebody, if he works with somebody, I know they're good. I know they're legit. I know they're, you know, a certain caliber of MC or artist. and just seeing that, man, and getting familiar with Fillmore's music, especially that first album, what put me on. And then just, I was interested, man. It just fit my style, fit my sound, man. It was just like, yo, this dude will compliment my sound, and make my beats come alive, man. And I could just see it, I could hear it, you know what I'm saying? And me and Hadi, we're along the same kind of the same thread, you know what I'm saying? We make kind of the same style music, the same feel, a lot of the same type of chops, a lot of the same. It's just kind of we're in the same realm, you know what I'm saying? We would be, if you had to put a bunch of people in the same, we would be in the same room, you know what I'm saying? We'd be in the same room of producers. So, it was just interesting to hear, Phil on his beats, man, and the way he wrote his beats and.
Pause.
Oh,
No,
wow.
it's a... So
Yo.
the way the way he just
Yo.
kind of slid all over the record, man, and he I don't know, man. It was perfect for my type of music. So when I finally got the chance to meet him, like he stated earlier, man, he came through Detroit, and he came through a few times, man. But the one, particular time he came through with Sky Zoo and Elzai, and
Oh,
they were on
wow.
tour. Yeah, they were on tour. And like you said, I pulled him aside and was like, yo, man, I'm a fan. I respect what you do. You running around here with my man High D, so I already know what's up. Let's we gotta work, man. We gotta work. I'm a fan. So, I told him I didn't know if that was gonna be a I didn't know if it was gonna be a just a song or a feature, or if it was gonna turn into an album, man. Luckily, right now we both carved out the time, and we both had a window of opportunity, so we decided to make an album, man, and it was a perfect marriage.
I like that about you, Apollo. Like, it shows like the humbleness that you have inside you, because as a man of your caliber who has the catalog of music that you have now too, for you to say that to like a new artist and not be like, oh, I'm established, I don't have to work with someone like that. But it just shows like the
Nah,
love.
man, I work with whoever I'm a fan of, man. Like, I don't work with anybody I'm not a fan of, and I don't do this. Everybody knows I don't do this for money. It's not a money thing. Of course, I make my living as a producer. I put food on the table, clothes on my kids' backs, roof over the head, stuff like that. But if I wanted to, man, I could change my whole style up, become a whole different type of producer, and make a lot more money than I make now. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really about the money. It's about the comfort, obviously, but it's also about the dignity, man. And it's also about, maintaining that, man. And I'm not gonna make music that I don't like. And I'm not gonna work with artists that I'm not a fan of. You know what I'm saying? I like to keep my integrity. Integrity is important to me. They say integrity doesn't put food on the table, but it puts food on mine. You know what I'm saying? So again, man, I'm not about how I don't care if your level is up here, or if your level's down here, or whatever. I don't care about any of that. Numbers and all that, I don't care about any of that. It's obvious. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm here to make good music, and I'm here to work with artists who are like-minded, and we have the same goal, and that's to make good music, man, and music that's relatable and music that moves people. And that's that.
I ain't gonna lie, like, because with this album now too, like, you once said in an interview, you make music, it's either gonna make you forget about something or make you remember something. And when I'm listening to like the cost of living and just like the little things, like I think about like how family, like raising a family in the modern day era, like the Pampers and the iPad. Back then they were just like, just like Pampers and milk. But like it makes you think about like things like that. And it's just like with your production, like I'm
That
not
was
gonna
that was all that was all Fillmore right there. That was Phil who Phil made everything come alive. So he made everything visual. You know what I'm saying? When you're listening to the album, yeah, you're feeling the beat and you're feeling the ambiance and you're feeling the whole soundtrack behind the words, but yo, he made it come alive and he made it visual. He made it so you can actually see it. When you're when you're listening to the album, you're living in Chicago for 50 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And that's a beautiful thing. That's something that not all MCs can do. That's something that a lot of MCs can't do, is be visual and bring you into their world. Absolutely.
That's bad. Yo, I like how you say that. It literally, because when I'm walking back, when I looked at the album, like how long it was, I was like, damn, it just feels like I went to Chicago for like 50 minutes. Because, anyway, just the way that how vivid that your wordplay is now, too. Even like the cover, like it was that same type of weather today, but with snow. And just like, that's rare we get albums like this nowadays.
Yeah, credit Apollo for the cover. You know what I mean? Apollo came with the cover, and, you know, it was a no-brainer. You know, that's iconic right there. Salute to Coco Liu. He took the photo. Apollo got the cover. We got it. And, you know, it was just dope. It fits the music. It fits the all-around. You know, a cover with Sunshine wouldn't have went. We would have made it went, but that cover fits the music and the tone. And it's not even saying it in a sense of saying, we're down or we're, you know, it just fits the music. It fits the soundtrack to what we're bringing to you. And as far as, you know, I try to put certain words and certain rhymes to make it detailed, and to make the smallest words can make every verse pop out. You know what I mean? So I'm very mindful of how I place my words and how I say things and what I don't put in there, not to get too wordy in some verses. You know, it was a great writing process when I came up with the words for this cinematic piece right here, man. It Costs a Living. It was very fun. I a lot of late nights, a lot of reflecting. You know what I mean? It was a great process writing this album. I approached it. It was a different process because the way I approached writing this album, I did no other album this way, you know. It's very different for me.
Now,
but I'm gonna do the same way.
Now, I like when you say that too, because like the littlest word can make like a huge difference now too. Because when I hear like lines like sorry, I forget what song this is from, but when you said, "Where's the television sitcom with the moles at the end?" And now it's scripted reality for attention. And when you think about that, like when you turn on the TV, it makes you think, like, yo, where is all these channels?
Ghost.
Like, yeah. And now we got like Jersey Shore.
You look at, you look at all the television, you look at all the shows back then. And in particular, I was thinking of a show called Family Matters.
Okay, you know, I remember that. Yes, sir.
TGI Fridays, Family Matters, Full House, all this stuff will happen within this 30 minutes, really 24 when you take out the commercials. Everything will happen within this 24 minutes of us watching, but at the end of the show, they sit down on the couch, the soft music plays, and they give you the moral behind whatever the show is written around.
Rare condition, this day.
Yeah.
The newspaper page.
Those are classic, though. Like, if you think about those, yeah, those are classic songs, though.
You sound just like homie, though. You know, I ad-lib you if my voice was right, but I can't even hit the note like I want to hit it. Pause. But yeah, man. It'll take you on that, you know. There was no moral at the end of now. Now we have these reality shows where everything is, they say it's reality, but it's like an oxymoron because it's scripted. It's not reality. They saying cut. They giving you something to read. They placing people together to be couples. And that's what our shorties are watching. And that's what they want to be when they, you know, our shorties have this to watch. You know, they don't know the feeling of watching that new Martin episode. You know, it's just different, man. It's different.
It is too, like, even like but like with the way that this album is placed together, like with the sequencing now too, like I can only imagine like what didn't make it and what message was on those songs. Because I remember Apollo saying that his favorite beat that's for that album, you guys didn't put it on the album because it didn't fit. That's why I'm like curious. I was like How hard is it, Apollo, to like touch something like that, even though you like it so much, but it doesn't fit? Like how hard is that?
I mean, the album as a whole is the most important. You know what I'm saying? And so I do everything for the good of the album, not for the good of me, not for the good of Fillmore, not for the good of any single. It's the album as a whole. So if that means I got to cut my favorite beat off the album, then that's just how it is.
Yeah.
I got compilation albums that you would be like, what? You cut this person off the album? Like, I got songs with certain MCs that people would never know I have because it just didn't fit the album. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's how I feel. It's for the good of the album, man. It's not, you can't let ego get in the way. You can't let ego get in the way at
Yeah.
all. You know,
And I was.
it's all about the good of the album.
And I didn't feel a way when he cut him off. You know, I understood. This is your favorite baby. This is one of your favorite babies. And I actually wrote two records to that record, to that beat. So it was like, neither one made it. And I was like, okay, cool. At least the bare minimum, we have two records to this beat that you love the most, whether you keep it or not. But at the end of the day, like Apollo said, it's about the end product and what fits most
Absolutely.
to what we're going to present to the people,
Even like I'm not big when like for guest appearances, no, because like you, because sometimes it can mess up like the message of the album, no. But I believe that each guest appearance on here was strategic too, because I also know like you were also influenced by Dilated Peoples. Now to have evidence on the record with you with an Apollo, that must have been like one of your dream moments, like actually come true. Because like thinking like when we listen to our favorite artists, like for me, like yeah, I came up in the Shady Aftermath era, but I did my homework. I fell in love with like Black Moon, Smith and Wesson, cats like that. But with you, like to actually have a record like that, like what did that mean to actually have a record with someone you looked up to on an album that's so significant for your career?
I mean, it means everything just to be working with Apollo means everything to me. You know what I mean? And then you tap the shoulder of an artist that I studied coming up. I listened to all of his albums and, I had the chance to meet him for one time. And, it was dope. You know what I mean? Evidence is in my top 10 as far as delivery goes. I wrote a list as far as like my artists, as far as just based on delivery. And Evidence was in my top 10. And Elzai was in that as well. I had opportunity to tell him that. And I told Ev as well when I met him. He looked at me like I was crazy, but he didn't know me at the time. And I think he's a little bit more familiar with my name right now. Obviously, we're on the record together. But it means everything, bro. Like an artist you grew up watching and listening to and studying with the producer you. I don't want to make you feel old, bro, but you grew up listening to and studying. You know what I mean? It means everything. I feel like I'm honored. I am honored to not only be represent Chicago in this manner, but to be repping Chicago on this platform with a great guy like Apollo Brown and to have a record with a great guy like Evidence. They're just true, authentic people, and they don't change. They don't budge. They are themselves when they see you, and when you see them. That's who they are. Like, it's no sugarcoating it. It's no big eyes and little U's. Yeah, they have bigger followings than me, but I've never felt that. You know what I mean? When I worked with Apollo, it was just like, what do you want to do? What do you think? He never, just this is what we're going to do, and this is that. That's final. You know what I mean? It was always, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And it was cool, you know what I mean? Like, that's love. You don't get too many people like Apollo Brown and Evidence in this business, and I you don't. So hats off to those guys, man. They're legends, man. They're legends, bro. So I'm honored. I'm honored for real.
It's good to see like someone like very humble to actually accomplish something that they wanted for so long. Now, as well for Paulo now too, because this is what I always want to ask a producer when they do a full album with an artist. When you made this, you don't have to give away the what you use, but When you were making this album with Fillmore, like, did you make the beats specifically for him, like after conversation, or did you do it all before you knew you could do the album with him?
No, I made the beats for him, specifically for this album. I mean, that's just we. What did I give you? 20? We started with 20.
Yeah, we started. You said 20, you said you made 24,
Made
but
yeah,
you gave me
I made
20.
more than that. Yeah, so I ended up I gave him 20, and it wasn't even email. It was like, yo, come to Detroit. He came to Detroit. He was like, yo, I'll come right now. I'm like, bet, let's go. I'm gonna set up. So I booked some studio time. I invited a few friends over, and we had a nice little session out of it, man. And played him the beats, man, and gave him dumped him on something, and a thumb drive or whatever, and then sent him home with the beats, man. And that was
Cost of living, man.
yeah, man. It was everything went smooth, man. I can't even There was no hiccups, you know what I'm saying? There was no hiccups in recording, no hiccups in mixing, mastering. It's almost like, man, you wait for something to go wrong. Something always goes wrong, man. But it was just, it was, it was super smooth, man. And, yeah, I mean, all these beats was specifically made for this album. You know what I'm saying? And I knew what I wanted the album to sound like. This was my interpretation. I told him, this is my interpretation of Chicago. From the outside looking in, this is how I feel Chicago sounds like. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the right to say what Chicago sounds like. Again, like I said, this is my interpretation of what it, if you ask 10 people from Chicago, what's the sound of Chicago? You might get 10 different answers. You might get an answer that's totally different from what I think it is. But being someone that's, from the outside looking in, this is my personal interpretation of Chicago, and I try to do my best. And
Oh yeah, you nailed that. I ain't gonna front. You nailed that.
that's
So
the
this is
thing. I
from
don't know if I don't know if I, I don't know
Chicago.
if I nailed it or not. You know what I'm saying? But again, because that's who am I to say? But because I'm not from Chicago, so but getting the stamp of approval from Phil himself, from Hadi, and from everybody around them, that made me feel better about the music,
Oh yeah, they already saying like Apollo might. He might as well just start repping Chicago. He gonna come up here anytime. That's what my homie's saying now. They like, yeah, he can come up. He gonna come up here anytime, man. He want us. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, and that goes to show what I just said, man. You come around. You're a great person, and you meet great people through great people. So at
Absolutely.
the end of the day, that's what it was, man. All my brothers love that guy. He can come up here and go to Buffalo Sam's, and the neighborhood know who he is already. So,
Buffalo Sam's.
yeah, in the hood, smack dab in the hood, and he's good. You know what I mean? So that's what it is, man. Like, good people, man. Good people, it equals good music when they're working. So that's what it was. It was just energy, all good energy. Nothing went wrong because the energy was right.
And what I noticed about this album too, there's a lot of integrity behind this album now too, and that's like also something we don't really see nowadays, because since the rise of Griselda, nothing against Griselda, but it just seems like we see so many other rappers that have to have like previous crack dealing experience, a ski mask, some drumless beats, and it just seems like they're on. But I want to find like artists like Fillmore, like that are still out there, or that has a message behind their music. That's why I go so deep into Detroit, because there's from the artists to the producers to the singers, it's just like there's so many people from Detroit that have a message. That's why when Apollo works with somebody like Fillmore, I was like I ain't gonna front Fillmore. This is the first project I heard from you, and yeah, you definitely heard.
Okay.
But
You
being that
bet.
this is the first project that you heard from Fillmore, you went back and delve into his other projects, right?
Yes, that's how I discovered
Absolutely. And
that.
that's what happens, man. You know what I'm saying, Phil? That's your catalog is what is important.
Yeah.
It's never so much as the album before you, the one that you put out yesterday. It's about the albums that you put out last year and the years before, and then they catch back up to the album that you just put out yesterday. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy how people every day people learn who you are and get to know who you are for the first time, and then they go back and see, all right, what else does this person have? What else does this artist have? And then your catalog just starts spiking. And that's a beautiful thing, man. That's what it's all about.
And I like how you said that, because like, it's true like that now too, because like you always remember like a significant artist or like how you found them, like how I got into hip hop, like how I discovered Detroit. My first CD was the Dr. Dre 2001, but every artist on that CD, I did my research on how I found that. Yes, I always say Eminem introduced me to Detroit hip hop, but it wasn't until cast like Slum Village, Elzai, Jay Dilla that made me really fall, Frank and Dank, that made me really fall in love with hip hop in the early 2000s. So this is like, it's like when I discover a new artist like Fillmore, I can only imagine what other like fans out there, when they hear this, it's like, there's still real lyricists from Chicago.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You never forget how an artist makes you feel.
Yeah.
You might forget the name of a song. You might forget the name of an album. You might even forget the face of the artist or even the name of the artist, but you'll never forget how that artist made you feel when you heard that song that you love so much. And then it comes back on the radio or you hear somebody else playing and you're like, yo, that's that joint. That's that joint. And you just get this feeling and it's just like, yo, I never forgot how it made me feel when I listened to Supreme Clientele for the first time. Or when I listened to Breaking Atoms for the first time. Looking at the front door, like, made me feel some type of way when that came on. I was like, what is this, man? You know what I'm saying? My favorite album of all time is Into the Stage. You know what I'm saying? Black Moon. Never forget how that made me, you know, feel the first time I listened to that album. You know, when Who Got the Props came on, I was just like, yo, what is going on here, man? What is this? You know what I'm saying? It was just like Beat Miners is top five for me. Top five producers of all time.
Bro. Wow.
So, yeah. You know, one of the biggest influences on my sound. And you know, but you never forget how an artist makes you feel. That's one of those things that, you know, I try to do with music. It's one of those things I'm sure Phil tries to do with music, man, is make you feel it, man. It's saying these ain't just sounds and words. You know what I'm saying? This is feelings. This is what we want to do. We want to move you. And like you mentioned before, I want to make you forget something to make you remember something. I want to take you places with the music, man. And I want you to feel it. Because that's what you don't forget. You don't forget that later.
Yeah. Because I think like when I look back on this album, like let's say like, you know, a year from now, I'm going to remember like, damn, like it takes you on a Chicago experience for 15 minutes. And like, I'll always remember that walk, like going through, like that second time going through the album, because it just, there's just certain lines that hit you hard. And like, you get those goosebumps when you hear it.
Cost of Living is one of those albums where you listen to it every day and you really dive into it. There's so many quotables. There's so many things within the beat. Like just the other day, I'm noticing something Apollo took out in one of the beats that were originally there. You know what I mean? And that's part of the arrangement process. And I'm hearing it. When you listen to the lyrics, you're going to notice something and you're going to, do you know who Ruben the Fanador is? Do you know, you can study these things and you can look these things up to make it make more sense when you really dive into the words and the lyrics. You can listen to this album from time to time, from years from now, and get new things when you listen to it. You know, I intentionally wrote it that way, as I try to do with every piece of work that I do. Because the more you talk about it, the longer it lives. You know, so this album will stand the test of time, man. I'm saying it, you know, not in a cocky way, but more confident, man. This will stand the test of time. I think people are going to talk about Cost of Living for years and years from now.
It's definitely one of the highlights from this year. And let me tell you, we got a lot of good highlights, but this one, because like a brand new artist like Fillmore Green could be on my radar. I was like, how? Like, I never knew I needed this collaboration in my life.
was left field. Most of his base don't know me. You know what I mean? Like, that's why we got the nice to meet you. You know, I intentionally wrote it that way because most of his base don't know me, man. So let me introduce myself. They do now, you know. Let me introduce myself for those who don't know. So now you know. Nice to meet you. So it's all, man, like the perfect way. Perfect.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I like how you keep pointing out the nice to meet you, because that's literally the second track off that album where you're introducing something at the end. Hi, I'm Philbo Green. Nice to meet you. So I like how you keep throwing little Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, from the west side of Chicago.
Yes,
from the
sir.
West side of Chicago, man. I knew the magnitude of this album. I knew where it was going to go. I knew people overseas that never heard my name before. People all over this world, and even in the States. That never heard my name. This man put in a lot of work. You know what I mean? It goes to what we were talking about earlier in the interview. It's no big eyes and little dudes. He could have tapped, I'm sure, plenty other artists that were way more established than myself to hop on those, that same set of beats. You know what I mean? So he gave me the nod, and I took what he gave me, and I painted over him. So you get records like Nice to Meet You, and I'm just basically letting you know this is who you're going to listen to for this next hour. You know me, my name is Fillmore Green. I'm from the west side of Chicago. It's an introduction. People never forget their introduction to a person. So it was so fitting. And that beat, like,
yeah,
you know, man, it's like a sunny morning, you know, like, let's wake up and let's say hi to each other. Good morning. Hey, how you doing? You know, so it's like, that's what it was. Nice to meet you.
Like, I know when artists like doing, like when they have it's a sampled intro. We won't have to say where it's from, but it's called Consequences though. But like the way it goes into the second track and how influential, like what it says about your dreams, it really hit. And then it goes into Nice to Meet You. You're just like, I can't listen to this album, like one song, I have to listen to it from the front to the end, if that makes sense. And that's
you gotta listen to the intro, man. The intro just kind of sets the tone and lets you know what this album is about, man. Perfectly.
Yeah.
It tells you exactly what you're about to listen to. You know what I'm saying? And it gives you the content right away. So there's no surprises.
Now before I let you guys go, like even with the intro now too. With this intro, and I know like you guys are perfectionists, was there a different intro as opposed to Consequences, like with Fillmore actually rapping as opposed to, you know, a sound?
No. That was the intro. That was, you know what I'm saying? I had the idea of getting Tony Baker on the intro at first, the comedian.
Oh, wow.
Tony Baker's he's a hip hop head. He's a fan of mine. I'm a fan of his. And he's also a Chicago cat. So, but, you know, maybe another time, you know, this, I found this sound bite and it was just like kismet, you know what I'm saying? It was perfect. And it really lets you in and tells you exactly what, because I can't do an album without an intro. I don't have an album without an intro. I have to do an intro. I don't know if that's the old school in me or if that's just coming from, you know, ever since Illmatic, man. It's like you gotta, I just, ooh, an intro, man. You know what I'm saying? It gotta, something that just kind of sets the mood, sets the tone of the album, and brings you in, eases you in the album. I'm never a fan of, I just don't like when an album starts out with a beat, with a song. Boom, just boom. I'm like, nah.
Yes. Wait,
I need to give you foreplay. You know what I'm saying? That's what the intro right. is. It's a little foreplay, it's a little kiss on the neck. You know what I'm saying? A little touchy feely, a little bit of this, whatever, whatever. It's an intro. It's foreplay, man. It gets you in the mood and kind of acclimates you, whether it's 15 seconds or a minute or whatever. It acclimates you and gets you ready for what's about to come. So, in this intro, was perfect. Perfect.
Perfect.
And I like how it does, because it shows, like, you know, you once said like the era from 96, oh sorry, from 91 to 96 was your golden era. Like, and I truly
that's my golden era right there, 91 to 96. That's my golden era.
And as for somebody who didn't get to experience, I came in the world in 91, but when I grew up and went back, I would give my left not to go back and like experience like 91. Like just like, cause like the music of that, that's how desperate I want to go back and like actually experience this, because like I never got to experience Black Moon or The Shining or like, you know, Gangster, like when they were first coming out in it. Cause I was a kid back. I didn't know it back then.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's you know, certain times that we all wish that we were a part of, man. I think, you know, I joke, man, and say, you know, if I was a producer in 1994, man, maybe, you know, things would be a little bit different, man. But then again, there might not be an Apollo Brown if I was a producer back then, because I didn't have, you know, I was lucky enough to come up with, you know, the DJ Premieres and the Pete Rocks and the Beat Miners and, you know, the Large Pros to influence an Apollo Brown, you know what I'm saying, for me to come out and make music, you know what I'm saying? So there wouldn't be me and my peers if there wasn't those guys before us. And so I'm kind of glad I did come out when I did, man, and make the music I made, even though there's probably 100 times more producers and MCs than there was back then, man. But even so, you got to kind of find your rightful place in this shit. And, you know, hopefully that you can, you know, you can make something that stands out from the crowd, man. And I think I've done that.
Oh, yeah. There's like about like, maybe like 8 that stand out from the crowd from this entire world of producers. So shout out to Finale for giving you the name of Apollo Brown, man. And shout out to, and shout out to you for finding humble and finding an artist like Fillmore Green. Now before
I didn't find Fillmore. Fillmore been out for a minute, man. It's just I happened to stumble upon him myself, man. I would give more of that credit in his sound to Rashid Hadid. Hadid is the guy. So when you go back and listen to Fillmore's albums, Hadid is the mastermind behind the sound. So definitely.
Ooh, Rashid. Yep. Track 15 on Cost of Living featuring Rashid Hadid.
Now,
where's the love?
I don't know if you guys got to ask this question about the album, but it's the last question I want to ask you too. What do you guys hope to inspire others with this album?
So, say that again.
Like, what do you guys hope to accomplish with this album? Like, do you guys want to like be like in, like leave somebody inspired? Like, what do you guys like set out to do with this album? Like, what did you guys aim to accomplish?
Everything I do is to inspire. Everything I do is to inspire others. You might spark somebody to do something that they were afraid to do, and hopefully by listening to this, is, you know, I can inspire someone to take a leap of faith and start that business. You know, everything I do is to show love. Love is my real last name. So I walk with that. Everything I do is to inspire others, man. Make the right decisions, even if it's the wrong decisions. You got to learn from it. It's all a learning process. And, you know, just stick with it, you know. And the art of networking is real. You know, I didn't grow up with Apollo, but the art of networking and hard work is real. Because, you know, as you heard him say, I was in Detroit several times when we connected. So that means I had to be putting in the groundwork, you know, hard work, stick to your guns and work hard towards what you want to do. And, you know, your Apollo Brown may tap you on the shoulder and give you a look, you know what I mean? Pause. Super pause. But yeah, man.
Man, like,
stick to your guns, man. Stick to your guns.
I like
stick
that.
Stick to your guns, bro.
Man, if anybody made it this far, yo, I hope you enjoyed this conversation we had with these two gentlemen right now. I want to go out of my way and say, yo, I want to thank you two gents for coming on the show and explaining some of the albums and some of your career on this platform, just for the fans to hear. So, because if they're like me, they want to know more about the artists and producers. So I really hope that you guys get a Grammy for this. I think the Grammys for probably next year will pick this up. But yeah, you know, this is Grammy worthy music right here. But like you said, yo, if there's anything I can do to help you guys promote this album, just let me know. Is there anything that you could two want to say before I let you two go?
Yo, well, I just want to. I appreciate you for having us, man. And you know, any way we can get the word out, you know, is good with me, man. And we definitely appreciate your support and the fact that you do your research, man, and come up with certain things that you know, surprised me, man, a little bit. So I, you know, I've been asked a lot of things, but I was, you know, I enjoyed this, man. It was cool.
Hey, man, you guys are taking the time out of your day. The least I can do is do my research and make it enjoyable and don't be, like, asking regular questions. So La Cost of Living is out now. It's on the screen. Link's in description. You're Apollo Brown, Fillmore Green. Yo, you guys are welcome back anytime. Anytime I can do for you, I wish you guys nothing but success.
Dope, man. I appreciate
it. Thank you, brother.